I remember when I went to college. Now, I didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian home, but I remember when I went to college that, man, I just got loose, like the wine-drinking goose, right? I mean, it was just crazy. There's no restraints, right? No accountability. Nobody telling you to come home at a certain hour. Nobody making sure that you did this or making sure that you did that. That when I went to college, I just kind of lost all restraints. And what was the thing that I was looking at? I was looking at distance. That, you know, I no longer had that up close and personal accountability.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Indicators You Are Doing Something Not in the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Indicators You Are Doing Something Not in the Will of God.
We're continuing on, about ready to wrap up this series that we've been doing on answering your questions about the will of God. And it's been a very interesting series. Has been eye-opening for me. You know, I've learned a lot just by studying the will of God and some of the things that we see are involved with that. We gave the definition of God's will, and we said that the definition of God's will is more than just something he desires to do, but it is what he resolves. It is what he determines. It is what he purposes to do when we think of the will of God. And we see that it can be based on two things. It can be based on his sovereignty, which Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar came to that realization. He said that God is in the heaven and he does whatever he wants to do. that he does whatever he wants to do. So we know that God's will is based on his sovereignty, but we also see situations where it can be based on human response. That God throws something out there as far as what he desires and what his purpose is, but then it's up to people how they respond as to how God moves in that situation. So definitely when we look at God's will is his resolve, his desire to purpose the things that he feels that he wants to do. The questions that we've been dealing with, what is the will of God? We talked about that. What has God clearly revealed as his will? Saved, sanctified, spirit-filled, right? I mean, that's clear. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to pray about, Lord, should I get saved? You know, you don't have to pray, Lord, should I live a sanctified, holy life? Lord, should I be filled with your spirit? You don't have to pray about those things. Those are things that he has clearly revealed as his will. And then how do you discover God's personal will for your life? We went over a message and we talked about, here's some things that you need to understand to know his personal will for your life. And then we talked about the gray areas. How do you decide in the gray areas as far as maybe what kind of music to listen to, what kind of entertainment to be involved in? How do you make those decisions? We talked about that. And then we're going to look at how do you use the word of God to find the will of God. Last week we talked about does God have a perfect and permissive will? It was interesting. I did receive some emails about the understanding, people's understanding of the perfect and permissive will of God. So we weren't all in agreement last week with that particular message, but if you want to find out areas of disagreement, that you can go back and listen to that particular message. And today we're going to look at what are some indicators that you are not in the will of God. What are some indicators that you are not in the will of God? Father, we come to you today, and we thank you again for the opportunity to dive into your word. And so, Lord, as we get into your word today, We pray that you would open our eyes because we see there are a lot of people today who are saying they are doing the will of God, and God is nowhere around. And so we pray, Father, that you would help us understand. I even look at my own life, Lord, as I was studying this message, as I was meditating on it, and have to say that there are some areas, Lord, that I need to bring more in line with your will. So thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord, and I pray that you would speak to all of us today. And as we open your word, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master is calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I shared with the congregation last week how that I had the opportunity to try out for the Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos, and how that it wasn't God's will for me to do that. And I just had to come to a resolve that that was something that, well, even though I had it on my agenda, it was something that God didn't have on his agenda. And I remember when I tried out for the Dallas Cowboys, I flew into Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. And I got off the plane, and as soon as I got off the plane, my pants ripped all the way down to halfway down my leg. And I mean, as somebody said, man, you are exposed. And so I had ripped pants and went to get my luggage, and they lost my luggage. And I at that point, I began to think, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Are you trying to let me know something? And so we have to look at our lives sometimes and see that there are certain indicators that God allows to come into our life to show us that we are not in the will of God. Deacon Corbin, can you do me a favor? I left my glasses right there. Help a brother out. Thank you. That we come to the conclusion that we are doing something that is not in the will of God. Now, we have a biblical example of an individual that was clearly out of God's will, and that is the prophet Jonah. And as we look at Jonah, we see that the Lord spoke to Jonah in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And look what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. What did he say? Get up. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. But Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So it's clear that Jonah was not in the will of God. As a matter of fact, he went in the exact opposite direction of God's will. God told him to go to Nineveh. If you go to that next slide. God told him to go to Nineveh, which would have been about 500 miles from where he was at. He was in Joppa, which is a seaport on the Mediterranean Sea, not too far from Israel. And God told him to go to Nineveh, which would have been about a 550-mile hike. But Jonah gets on the boat, and he's going in the opposite direction. He's going as far away from the will of God as he can. 2,500 miles is where he's going to travel. Now look how much the will of God might be difficult. But look how much more people have to do when they run from the will of God, when they get away from the will of God. Now, there's some suggested reasons as to why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And here goes some right here. I'm going to give you what I think are the one reason I believe that he didn't want to go. But some people say it was a rough trip across a desert terrain, and he didn't want to go. But yet and still, he was willing to get on a boat and travel, you know, almost, four or five times that distance. He didn't think the Ninevites would listen to a Hebrew prophet, so he just said, well, I don't want to go. They're not going to listen to me anyways. Here goes one right here. Jonah was a racist, and he didn't want God to show kindness to Israel's heathen enemies. And if you read chapter 4, you can see that Jonah was very upset with God because he saved these folks, that there was something in Jonah's spirit that didn't settle right with the Ninevites. He knew that God would be merciful to them if they repented. So regardless if he went, he said, God is going to do what he wants to do. So, you know, why should I go? You know, so he got on the boat going in the opposite direction. But here's one of the main reasons I think that Jonah didn't want to go, is that he knew the brutal nature of the Ninevites. And all you have to do is go back and study the history of this time. And you will see that the Ninevites, the Assyrians, were a brutal and torturous and wicked group of people. As a matter of fact, I put up three things to kind of prove what I'm saying. These were quotes by military leaders. One was referring to a captured leader. He said, when he captured a general, he said, I pierced his chin with my keen hand dagger. Through his jaw, I passed a rope, put a dog chain on him, and made him occupy a kennel. So again, you know, just think of the warfare regulations that we have today, you know, that you got all kind of agreements that, you know, you wouldn't do things like this. But yet still, the Ninevites, you know, these were things that they did to leaders that they captured. If you go to that next slide. After a war, one leader boasted, a pyramid of heads I reared in front of his city. Their youth and their maidens I burnt up in flames. I cut their throats like lambs. Now, again, Jonah knows all this, right? And so as he's feeling this, God calling him to go to these people, he was very reluctant. So you can see why he got on a boat going in the opposite direction. But my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that if God is telling you to do something, that he's going to take care of you. He's going to go through what might seem to be impossible circumstances, what might seem to be a death wish on your life, what might seem to be you putting yourself in danger, that if you do what God tells you to do, he's going to see you through. He's going to take you through. Another military leader writing of one of his conquests said, the heads of their warriors I cut off. I formed them into a pillar over against the city. He also wrote of mutilating the bodies of live captives and stacking their corpses in piles. And so we see that this was a brutal, brutal people. And Jonah gets this call for the will of God, for him to go and preach to Nineveh. And as a matter of fact, we see in chapter 1, verse 2, God said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God recognized them as a wicked people. Even, you know, as we read further on, God called them an exceedingly wicked people. And so Jonah realizes this, and yet still, God calls him to this. So as we look at these indicators, I have four indicators that when you run from God, that when you get on the boat, instead of going to Tarshish, that you get on the boat going to, get on the boat instead of going to Nineveh, you get on the boat going to Tarshish, that there's some things that indicate that you're not in the will of God. And so I just want to say, as I go over these four things, that it may be all four that would be true of a person's life, or it could just be one of these things. It all depends on as how God is working in your life. As God is working in your life, it may just be one thing, but that one thing is magnified. That one thing is the nail that hits the hammer that hits the nail on the head, right? So let's look at these four things and see what are some indicators that we might not be in the will of God. The first thing, it doesn't line up with the purpose of God. It doesn't line up with the purpose of God. You know, what is God's purpose for your life? And again, notice this. And the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. And it said, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. This was God's word. And so when we look at our lives, we have to ask ourselves, are the things that we're doing, are the purposes that we are pursuing in life, are they in line with God's word? I mean, clearly, there are some things in the word of God that are indisputable. You know, for instance, you know, I deal with this all the time, and it seems like the society in which we live, you know, it's becoming more and more widespread. And that is people living together, right? Even Christians living together. And the word of God is clear about that. And you know, it talks about, especially, you know, if a sexual relationship is involved, you know, where the scripture talks about fornication. And so, you know, people would think that it's the will of God and that this is all right. But to know that the word of God says that this is not something that God approves of, yet and still, we need to understand that it's not only the word of God, but it's also the will of God. That Jonah's word came from the Lord. And when it came, when the word came to Jonah, that was the will of God. And so, if we are doing something that doesn't line up with the purpose of God, that means that it's not the will of God. See, the thing is, we cannot find our purpose in Tarshish. You can't find your purpose in Tarshish. God's will was for him to go to Nineveh. What in the world was he going to do at Tarshish? Right? What was he going to do there? I don't know, maybe he had some homeboys there that he hooked up with in the past. But that's a long way to go to hook up with your homeboys. Right? You know, you cannot find your purpose in Tarshish. That Tarshish, what does Tarshish represent? Tarshish represents defiance to the will of God. That you say, well, God, I know your will. And I'm shaking my fist. And this is what Jonah basically did. I'm shaking my fist in your face, saying, I'm not going to do, even though this is what your word says, even though this is your will, I'm not going to do it because this is the way I feel that things should be. Tarshish represents defiance. Tarshish represents deviation. That God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. If God has spoke to you and God has told you something to do, and then you want to change the plan, you want to take it in another direction, that Tarshish represents deviation from what God has for your life. And then Tarshish represents distance. What was Jonah trying to do? It says that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He was trying to get as far away from the will of God as possible. Y'all often think, and you know, I could put this off on the young people, right? But I was young once, so I'm gonna put it off on Pastor Blaze and say, I remember when I went to college. Now, I didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian home, but I remember when I went to college that, man, I just got loose, like the wine-drinking goose. Right? I mean, it was just crazy. There's no restraints, right? No accountability. Nobody telling you to come home at a certain hour. Nobody making sure that you did this or making sure that you did that. That when I went to college, I just kind of lost all restraints. And what was the thing that I was looking at? I was looking at distance. That, you know, I no longer had that up close and personal accountability. And so you think of a young person going off to college. So again, I'm not coming down on the young people because I'm putting Pastor Glaze right there with y'all, right? That, you know, it represents a distance. From what? Distance from the guidelines of the home. Distance from the rules of the home. Distance from the disciplines of the home. And then you try to get away from that. And that's what Jonah, that's what Tarshish represents. It represents defiance to the will of God. It represents deviation from the will of God. And it represents distance from the will of God. So, are you in Tarshish right now? Do you find yourself in Tarshish? Do you find yourself involved in something that is not in line with the plan and the purpose of God? Do you find yourself doing something that's not in the will of God, that's not in the word of God, doesn't line up with the word of God? And so we see that this might be a strong indicator that you might not be in God's will. If you find yourself in Tarshish right now, you have to ask yourself that question. And Tarshish is for people. It's just not for a certain group of people. Tarshish is for people of every age. You know, maybe you've had to make some major decisions in your life. Decisions that will affect your life. Have you made those decisions in the will of God? Have you made those decisions based on the word of God? Have you made those decisions saying, Lord, even though I'm going to a brutal people where they cut people's heads off, where they burn people alive, where they flay people's skin right off of their body while they're alive. Lord, even though I'm going to Nineveh, a place of exceeding wickedness, that I go knowing that this is your purpose. This is your will. This is your plan. If you have that assurance, if you have that confidence, if you have that peace, then I say don't get on the boat going to Tarshish. Why? Because that represents defiance, deviation, and distance. Take the journey across the desert and go up to the Nineveh. God got you covered. God, he got your back, and he's going to take care of you. First indicator that you might not be in the will of God, that you're not lining up with his purpose. The second indicator that you are not in the will of God is that it is not accompanied by the provision of God. God's provision.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of indicators you are doing something not in the will of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, You Are Doing the Will of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Indicators You Are Doing Something Not in the Will of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Indicators You Are Doing Something Not in the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayer and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.